right. Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Biscuit Sunday. Man, I am excited that you're here. For those that are with us, you got to enjoy some biscuits and some gravy. Yes, most of you. Who's a fan of gravy? You love the gravy. And then, hands down, you're not so much about the gravy. That's me. I wasn't about the gravy. But so that was tasty. If you're joining us online, we're going to send you some biscuits in the mail. And you can eat those. They might be a little stale. Just throw them in the microwave. Put a little water on them. They'll be fine. But hey, it's going to be an awesome day. It's been an awesome day. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. I have a really, really, God has a really cool message today for you as we close out our series and begin to risk it. But man, before we dive into any of that, I want to pray. So would you guys pray with me right now? God, we are so thankful for your guidance and for your providence in our lives and also in our church. God, you have given us this place. God, and you have set us on a journey and on a path, and we don't know where it leads, but one thing's for sure, if we believe, man, you will be given glory, and that's all we want to do is serve you, live on purpose for you, and bring you glory right here in our church and in our community. God, speak to us today through your Spirit and through your Word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, during a lot of this, I've been talking a lot about the Israelites and just different things that have taken place for them entering into the Promised Land and what that looks like. Talked a lot about Joshua. But I wanted to kind of rewind a little bit back to probably one of the coolest miracles in the Bible, and it's the story of God parting the Red Sea. One I'm sure you've heard before, and it starts out in Exodus 14 and 15. Here's what it says. I want to read it to you. 14, 15 through 16, and it says this: The Lord said to Moses, in verse 16, it says, "As for you, lift up your staff." Stretch your hand over the sea and divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And that's how the story begins. And I got to thinking about this miracle, how it took place, and man, what that must have been like. I think it's one of those things we can read about this and be like, oh man, that's cool. That's cool. Because you imagine being the Israelites, right, standing there on that seashore. You got mountains to the left and to the right of you, no way to escape, and the enemy is barreling down with chariots coming after you to destroy you, and you have a sea in front of you. And all of a sudden, Moses goes out, he raises up his staff, and the sea before you begins to part. I mean, what an amazing thing to witness. And I've been researching this and diving into this and trying to figure out all that went along with it. But, you know, if you read the Bible, it talks about them walking across on dry ground, that there being just heaps of water, walls of water to the left and to the right of them. And, you know, we're talking about taking big steps of faith and taking risk in our lives and for our church. And I got to wondering is, which one of the Israelites, maybe it was Moses, but which one of them stepped out first? Because think about this. This isn't something you see every day, okay? It's not like, you know, 2 weeks ago you walked through parted water. And so just think about what it looked like and thinking to yourself, okay, there's a sea and the sea is parted for us. What happens when we get out to the middle and the sea decides to not part for us anymore? Right? And, you know, if you've ever been swimming or anything, you know that there's a lot of, like, nasty stuff on the sea ground or on the lake floor and all that stuff. And so, like, I can imagine the terrain is muddy, is full of rocks or debris or obstacles and hurdles. I just said crabs. You don't know what you're going to get yourself into. And it wasn't like they were going like 30 or 50 feet. This was a sea. It was large. And so I'm wondering which one of them actually took that first step. You know, once 600,000 plus people start moving forward, You don't just start turning back. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, well, nope, can't go back that way. There's people back there. You also have, you still have, you know, the Egyptians barreling down, and you know the only way to safety is through the dry ground of the sea with parted water on either side. And it's kind of a risky thing, an odd thing. And so as I was visualizing this, I got to thinking about the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Man Tell No Tales. And there's a scene in that movie where they find Poseidon's tomb. And how they do that is they put this thing on this gem, and it opens up, and the water begins to part. And it opens up, and you begin to see the sea floor. They actually got a picture of it. You can put that picture up for me. And this is what it looked like. And so this is what I'm visualizing. I know it wasn't this bad, but this kind of gave me a visual of, man, just think about how crazy scary that might have been. And maybe you got fish swimming by on either side. And this was a risky step for the Israelites to take. And I got to thinking about just our journey so far. You know, the Israelites were brought out of slavery, out of Egypt. God rescued them. They'd seen miracles before. They'd seen God work and move in big ways. And now they're wandering in the desert trying to figure out a way to go. And they've been maybe, you know, out for 3 days of Egypt. And they get to this place where, like, why are we standing at the seashore? And they're wondering about the ways of God and why God would lead them here and lead them in this way and why he would essentially trap them. And then God comes along and he does this miracle. He makes a way when there is no way. And I was thinking about that for our journey, right? It's been a crazy year, right? I think for all of us, we've each had something come up or some hardship or some trial take place. We're dealing with things we've never dealt with before. And the same is true for our church. You know, COVID happened, and there's all these other things taking place. Political division and police brutality, riots. Y'all, there's two hurricanes. You know, like, what? Thank you, 2020, for all the crazy you have brought us. And so, you know, as a church, when all this took place, it was just like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You know, God brought us this far. And it's been an amazing journey. We're so thankful for all that he's done. But why have we come up to this place where it seems like everything's coming against us? Right? And what God did in that moment is he parted a sea for us. He made a way. He made this space available to us just to record in. But then he continued to open the doors for us to step into this place. But you know, there's mountains to the left and to the right. As we're on this journey, there's distractions on one side and sin and temptation on the other side. And you know, the enemy, even though the Israelites were freed from Egypt, the enemy still pursued them. And that's true in our lives as well. We may be freed for a time, but you can know this, the enemy is never going to stop pursuing you. And so the reality is no matter the path that God has for us, no matter how odd or weird it may seem or be, God knows what he's doing, and we just got to trust. We got to take those faith steps. We got to step out and risk it to see where God is leading us. God knows. God's had a plan all along. He was just waiting for us to step into it. And what happens next is God comes along and he says to the Israelites, why do you worry? Why do you cry out? I'm going to finish reading to you. This is Exodus 14. We're going to go now to verses 10 through 18. And then 21 and 28. You can follow along on the screens or pull out your Bible online. It should be there as well. It says this, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians coming after them. The Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. You know what's so funny about this? And this is just a little side note. Man, you just witnessed God put plague after plague after plague on the Egyptians while you went unscathed. And God freed you. And while you were leaving Egypt, they gave you possessions to take with you. And then the enemy starts pursuing you again and you start getting scared. It's like, how do we forget so quickly what God has done in our lives? Right, when the walls go up and the distractions take place and the sin and temptation, we're like, God, please help me. Why? I'm so afraid. But it's like, but God's like, hey, I got you. Anyway, let me keep going. I'm sorry. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you in Egypt, to leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? This blows my mind. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. I love this last line. You must be quiet, right? Just the Lord will fight. Just trust in him and be quiet. Goes on and says, the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to break camp. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch over your hand over the sea and divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. As for me, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will receive glory by the means of Pharaoh, all his army and his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Now jump over to 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with the waters like a wall to them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians set out in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went into the sea after them. During the morning watch, the Lord looked down at the Egyptian forces from the pillar of fire and cloud and threw the Egyptian forces into a confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve and made them drive with difficulty. Let's get away from Israel, the Egyptians said, because the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back on the Egyptians, on their chariots, and their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea returned to its normal depth. While the Egyptians were trying to escape from it, the Lord threw them into the sea. The water came back and covered the chariots and the horsemen, plus the entire army of Pharaoh that had gone after them into the sea. Not even one of them survived. This is a miraculous story, where God came along and he did something no one would have ever imagined. And yes, the Israelites had experienced hardship and they've gone through so much and the journey was hard for them. But God does this impossible thing and he provides a way for them to what's next and freedom from their enemies. You know, in this place today, God's parting a sea for us. Friday night we had a worship and prayer night, and in it, I shared how remarkable it is that we are here. I think it was easy for me, maybe for you, to just take this for granted. But like, let me tell you, this is no joke. We are here, and it is a miracle. Okay, we're here, and we're not just surviving; we're thriving. And God is making a way every step of the way. And I don't know about you, but I am so excited about what's next. Because think about it. Think about what's coming next. You know, he led the Israelites, and where was he leading them? To the promised land. And they went and they did amazing things. But I think we much like the Israelites, we get fearful. We have doubts. It's been a really tough year. And I think through some of it, we cry out the same thing. Why, God, have you brought us here? Why, God, have you caused this to happen? I think for many people, during this time, they have begun to lose faith and doubt who God is and doubt God's promises. Can I just tell you this, regardless of the difficulty or the obstacles or the struggles that you may face or even the length of the journey, man, can I encourage you to keep working? Keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your heart and your mind focused on Him, and He will make a way. I know it's been hard, but He has a plan. And it is going to be something that you would have never even imagined. And that's where we find ourselves today. And that's where the Israelites found themselves. Just, you know, you step into the dry sea land, and you walk across, and you get to the other side, and you're like, wow, we just did that. Bucket list checked off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did that. And the Egyptians are still coming, and you're like, okay, well, hold on. Why is God letting the enemy come through this far, right? We say that. Like, why is God allowed the enemy to tempt me this much or cause me to get this far behind or get so close to me? It's because He was trying to show the enemy who deserves the glory, and it's Him. And so, he said, I'm going to make a way for you. And the enemy is going to get caught up and be fooled at thinking that they can come too, but they can't. And he shuts the water in on them. And not even one of them survives. I love in chapter 15 of Exodus, the Israelites sing this song, right? Like, man, if God saves you in this mighty way, you sing, right? You give Him your praise. You let Him know that, man, He is to be glorified. And so they sing this song in Exodus 15, verse 1 and 3. It states this. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord, Yahweh, is His name. They sing these praises, and then it gets to the very end in verses 17 in 18. And I love this. It says, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your possession. Ready for this? Lord, you have prepared the place for your dwelling. Lord, your hands have established the sanctuary. Lord, you will reign forever and ever and ever. Think about this for us. We've experienced trial, we've experienced hardship, we've gone through a tough year, but the Lord has provided a place for His dwelling. Right, He's provided us a sanctuary where we could come and find hope and find peace and find joy and go and share that joy with others. He's going to do it, and He's going to keep doing that, and we're going to keep focusing on Him. And there's going to still be distractions, and the enemy's still going to pursue us, but He is still good. And He's provided everything that we need. He's provided this place for us, a place where He is to be given glory above all else. And that's what I want to do. You know, He's established this sanctuary, this holy place for you and I. And He wants us to learn and grow as Christ followers. But more than that, He wants us to go and share. He wants us to share the hope that we found. He wants us to bring people into His holy place, into His presence, into a place where they can experience new life through Jesus Christ. I don't know what brought you to Kairos. Maybe you've been here since day one. Maybe you showed up a year ago, a few weeks ago, or maybe today is your first day. But I know this. God has you here today for a reason. He has you here for a purpose. He has you here for something He is working out, and you may not be able to see the full scope of it. Right now, all you may see is that you have mountains on the left and right. You got an enemy behind you, and you've got walls of water that you got to walk through, and it looks like it's going to be a difficult road, but He has you here for a reason. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your hope. God is good. He'll continue to be good. You know, through this series, I've been challenging you and encouraging you to take risk. It was all working towards, you know, this day, Biscuit Sunday, Commitment Sunday, where we would come together as a church and commit to, you know, $50,000 so that we could do all that we need to do in this place to reach our community. And what I'll say to you is, yes, I am asking you to give, but don't you understand it's so much more than that? It's not just in the giving, right? It's serving. It's learning. It's to preach. It's to teach. It's to disciple. It's to help you go and be the church wherever you are. That's what the church is about. We equip you to send you out so that you can bring the hope that you have found in Jesus to those who have not yet found it, and then you bring them back into this place and you do the same for them that's been done for you. And so what I would say to you, you're here today. God has you here today. You're watching online today, maybe for the first time. Don't take this opportunity for granted. Don't let the circumstances or the distractions or all the things fighting for your time or your attention to cause you to lose focus of what God is trying to do in and through you. God is up to something big. He's up to something big in our church. He's up to something big, I believe, in your life and in our community. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss it. I definitely want to be a part of what he's doing. I want to take risk. I want to go all in. I want to be willing to sacrifice. And while I sacrifice, I want to enjoy the blessings, and I also want to bless other people. So my question for you today is, why are you here? What led you here? Why are you watching online? What brought you to Kairos? What does church mean for you and for your family? I think often it's easy to lose sight of our blessings. Much like the Israelites, it's easy to forget all that God has already done for us, all that God has rescued us from, all that he has provided for us. And we come into the faith and we come to know Jesus and we learn about this man who took our place, died on the cross for our sins, so that we could experience salvation. And man, you remember that? It's exciting. But now maybe you're a few months in, a few years in, and the things that you do in church have become routine. You've just come to expect it. You hear a story about God parting the Red Sea, and you're like, I've heard that one before. Somewhere along the way, we've lost our awe and wonder of who God is and what he can do. And I think we've lost sight of the miracles that he's doing in our lives every single day. And so I wonder, are you taking this for granted? If so, can I help you remember what it was like when you first heard about Jesus? Remember what it was like when you first felt community within the local church, when you felt belonging, when God gave you purpose, when you felt the Holy Spirit inside you for the first time. Remember what it felt like to give your life to Jesus. Remember that freedom, right? And those chains being broken, and this new life and this new purpose coming over you, and you feeling like you've never felt before, and that you could go out and take on the world. Do you remember that? Did you lose it? Did the distractions and the sin and temptations and the enemy's pursuits cause you to doubt all that God has for you? I wonder, have you begun to take who you've become in Christ for granted? You know, the miracle of the Red Sea, oh man, it's just one of those things. You've probably heard it preached before so many times. You've read about it, and maybe it's like that movie you've watched for the 18th time, and you love it, but it just doesn't do it for you anymore. And maybe I would suggest to you instead of waiting for God to do something in your life or around your life, maybe it's time for you to take a risky step of faith and follow where he's leading you. And he'll bring that sense of awe and wonder. Maybe as a Christ follower, you've gotten a little too comfortable. You've come to expect certain things a certain way. going to church on Sunday, well, that's a couple hours of my day, and I got a lot of things to do. And remember how exciting it used to be when Christ first came into your life. Don't take it for granted. We're all called to do our part. You see, the church isn't just a pastor or a worship leader or the staff. The church is a body of believers, each one of them doing their part, using their gifts, using their talents, using their finances to bring God glory. Remember, I told you, God has you here, you specifically, for a reason. See? And he agrees. Let's just pray out, you know what I'm saying? He has you here for a reason. It's not a coincidence that you're a part of Kairos. Don't take it for granted. He has you here now. He wants to use you. But know this. I've experienced this all. When God calls you to go somewhere or take a risky step of faith, and maybe he gives you a little bit of the plan, and you're like, you want me to go there and talk to them, or you want me to step out and do this? It's going to be hard. It's going to require sacrifice. It will require risk. So going back to the Israelites, thinking about that first step, doing some research. And what I came to find out, and there's if you've looked into this at all, there's a lot of different theories about where this took place and where they crossed and how they crossed and all that stuff. And I've looked at a lot. But what I came to realize, that most of them could agree on, is that when they went into the Red Sea, or if you read about it, it's the Reed Sea, but don't worry about that. When they went into it, when you go into a lake, like what starts happening? It gets deeper and deeper, yeah? The further you go into the lake, the deeper it gets. And so when you get to the middle of a lake or the sea or the ocean, like you can't stand anymore, you gotta swim. And so you think about the Israelites walking. It's not like they're walking across this really easy terrain where, you know, it's just like that, da, 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 like it's this road that was paved by God right there in the ocean. That's not how it was. And so I've read, and so what they said was that the decline, or the how steep it was below sea level, it was 50 to 80 meters down. That's 150 to 300 feet. So here's how this goes. And also, I want you to know that they believe that this was about a 10-mile trip across the sea. So like I said, it's not a short journey. And you're also not just walking straight across. And so you think about it. Okay, you take that first step, and you're going down. And, you know, this is like our walk with Christ. We're like, all right, I got this. Jesus got my back. And you're walking, and you're going downhill. And you're like, I can do this. This is good. And, you know, maybe there's a crab or some seaweed or some yucky mud or some dead fish or whatever. But you're like, you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to keep going. And so you're walking downhill, but then you get down to the very middle, right? To the very bottom, to the lowest point. And you're in this valley. We experience this still, don't we? As Jesus followers, we still experience valleys in our lives, times where there's hardship and difficulty. And then in that valley, guess what? On the journey, then you got to begin making the ascent up. And a lot of times it's on that ascent up when we start getting tired. It's a little bit more difficult. We begin to lose faith. We begin to want to turn back. Can I just go back to where I was? Can I just go back to the slavery of the sin that I was once in? It was easier. God, this path is hard. I want you to know, just because God gives you a path of freedom, a path of victory, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It will be risky. It will require sacrifice. I said this in the beginning. It's not a risk when you know you can. It's a risk when you know only God can. That only God can pull you through. That only God can make a way. That only God can take what's impossible and make it possible. So today, as we take this risky faith step to what's next, you know, we've already done some work. We God got us here. And there's still work ahead, but we're at the shore. We're before the sea, and God has parted the water. And as we risk it, man, we're going to take this risky faith step, and we're going to keep moving forward. No matter the distractions to the left and to the right, no matter the sin and temptation, no matter the difficulties, the hardships, we're going to keep moving forward. Don't let the enemy's pursuit of you cause you to fear and doubt what God is trying to do through you. Boom! I'm saying. Woo! Y'all may not cheer, but God's cheering me on. He's got this. No matter how hard it gets. Again, if you keep focused on him, what he's calling you to, if you keep taking risk for him, if you keep seeing the things around that he's doing and you keep that awe and wonder, he's going to help you. Now listen, I'm no Moses, but God did call me to lead this church. God called me to this place where we're at right now. And I'll say, man, in the beginning of the year, I didn't fully understand what God was doing. I didn't know where he was leading. I didn't know where we would end up. And I can tell you there were moments of disparity, moments of depression, moments of overwhelming anxiety, thinking to myself, everything we've done is all for nothing. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if anyone's going to come back. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it as a church anymore. But God said, I have a way. I'm going to part the sea for you. I know it may seem like an odd plan, and you may not fully understand what's on the other side, but if you'll keep your faith and if you'll keep believing, I will get you through it. You know, that first step is always the hardest one, isn't it? Think about that first step towards a new job or a job interview. First step towards asking her to marry you. Think about it in my life that I remember when God gave me this calling, I was a part of a church for 10 years. And it was a growing, it was a vibrant church, and I loved that church. And God called me away from it. Again, I didn't understand it. I remember when God called me, hey, I want you to go plant a church. But I remember that first step into my pastor, which pastor boss, into my pastor's office saying, hey, I think I might be getting called somewhere else. And it was that first step. And through that, you know, he supported us. I remember our first steps into foster care and adoption. You talk about a scary, risky step. That's one of them. But I just, every step that we keep moving forward, God is there with us, and he's given the glory. And we've taken a step into this building. It was the first step of recording, and then, hey, can we just keep doing this for a while? And hey, we're going to meet a little bit, and hey, what do you think about letting us lease this place for a third of the cost? First steps, right? You know, it's either yes or no. We took the step. And because we were faithful, God said, I got you. Listen, if you're willing to risk it, to take the first step, God will lead you somewhere amazing. And God led the Israelites to the promised land. And you know, on their journey there, there were battles. Like I said, it might not be hard, but there were also victories. There were also amazing things that took place along the way. And so there are great battles that lie ahead for our church. There are great victories that lie ahead. But through it all, we just got to keep risking it, going after it, not taking it for granted, and remember who God is and trust his leading. And that leads me to the final part of our day today. Leads me to the culmination of our series. Making a commitment. Being willing to risk all that God has given you for what God has next. So what I'm going to ask you to do here in-house, on your seat, there should have been one of these risk it for the biscuit cards. On the front, it shares a little bit about what we got going on and lays out our, you know, what we're looking to do, and just some different, you know, totals that you could think about. Some of you may have already been praying about this. If you're online, if you go to kairos.church/give, there is one of these cards on that page as well. And so what I'm going to do as I'm closing out service today, and maybe you've been praying about this, I want you to really pray and think about what this is going to mean. I want you to understand the significance of this faith step, of this faith journey that God has us on. Do you understand that what you're willing to risk today, God is going to use to reach kids in our church and in our community, to bring teenagers into the doors of movement. He's going to use what you are willing to risk today to take you to somewhere that you have found new purpose and new hope. Maybe it is to a new job or a new calling. He's going to bring people in here to hear about Jesus for the very first time. What we risk today, I don't want you to, it's a very big deal. Because what we're saying yes to is we're saying yes to what God has laid before us. We're saying yes to taking that first risky step to give, to serve, to sacrifice, to learn, to grow, to go, to share the good news. So grab that card. Online, click on that link. Take a moment to pray about what you are willing to risk. Again, our goal is $50,000. In the week 2 of our series, Pastor Terrell from Freedom Church, he gave us $5,000 of that. And it's a year-long commitment. And you can see some of the totals on here. Man, what I came to realize is that if every person was willing to pledge $500, this is $10 a week, we would meet our goal like that. Because each one of us is doing our part. And all I'm asking you for is to just listen to God, listen to his prompting, listen to where he's leading, and do your part. Now, I want to pray over the pledge cards and over our commitment and over our risk. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. On Friday night, when we prayed and worshiped, we had these little stations set up. You might not be able to see this online, but there were stations about the different ministries within our church. There's one for movement, for kids, for the sanctuary, for the first and next moments that take place that covers all of our ministries and everything that we do. So after I pray or while I pray or at some point during the song, fill this out. And when you're done filling it out, I want to challenge you. Come up to one of these tables. It doesn't matter which one. You can fold your card. Place it in there. And then take a moment. And look, there's pictures of each of these ministries. Of things that we've been through. The things that we're doing now. And I would ask you to take a moment to pray. Pray about what your gift, what your risk is going to mean for our church, for our families, and for our community. Would you guys pray with me? God, today, I want to say thank you for leading us to this place. I haven't understood the way you've led us, or how you've led us, or why you've led us through some of the things that you've led us through. There have been obstacles. There have been hurdles, there have been distractions, there has been depression, there has been times when I just wasn't sure if we could go on, but through it all, you were faithful. And now here we are, God, at our own Red Sea, our own miracle, where you have made a way in the wilderness, where you have made a way where there was no way. You said, I got you. Keep your faith. Keep moving forward. Keep following me. Keep focused on me. Stay the path. Stay the course. Don't look to the left to the distractions. Don't look to the right to the sin that's going to entangle you. Definitely don't worry about the enemy behind you. I've got you. God, right now I lift up our church to you. Every person, every family, everyone who's watching online. I know that in the midst of 2020, this is a big ask. It's a big risk. And it seems like an odd, weird way to do things. But God, when we follow your ways, the miraculous takes place. God, and as Matthew 21:22 says, if we believe, we will receive whatever we ask for in prayer. So God, I am believing and I am asking that you would help us as a church meet this goal. Far surpass this goal to do all that you have in mind in our lives, in our church, and in this community. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for where you've led us. But most importantly, thank you for what you are going to do next. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. And anytime during the song, during the close of service, man, just take some time. Walk up. Drop your commitment card in one of these baskets. Take a moment to pray over that. You can do that now if you want. I'm going to move my stuff. I'm going to walk down. place my commitment card in there, and I'd ask you to do the same.